welcome this morning. How many of you have still have some Thanksgiving leftovers? Anybody? How many had pumpkin pie for breakfast this morning besides me? All right. Hey, every week we come in and we try to look around, see somebody that we need to say hello to and welcome each other. So let's do that right now. Just move around, shake a few hands, fellowship time. We are getting ready for Advent as we come in. Now, I already had somebody mention that this is kind of a Christmas sweater. I will say this. I was doing a broadcast at CSU. I always have a conversation with the referees before the game and sometimes during the game or after the game. But I wore what I thought was a very nice sweater, and the referee came over to the booth where we're doing the broadcast and said, "Oh, I didn't know it was ugly Christmas sweater day." So I said only nice things the rest of the way from that during that game. So we have a couple here that's going to come, and you may know these folks, but they're going to read the first week Advent reading and light the first candle. So Jason and Amy.
Thank you, sir. Today is the beginning of the Advent season. The word Advent means coming or arrival. It is a time when we get ready and prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth. During Advent, we live with expectation and excitement for what God will do in our lives as he is born in our hearts, as well as that little town of Bethlehem. Today, we will light one purple candle. This first candle is the candle of hope. We light this candle to remind us of the hope of the coming Messiah found in the Old Testament and the hope Jesus now gives us of eternal life. The first chapter of John says, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's thank Jesus for coming down to earth and ask him to prepare our hearts for the coming celebration of Christmas in 2025. Let's think of this question. Is your hope placed fully on Jesus for abundant life now and eternal life forever?
If you would, join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together, sing praises. We can come to hear your word. We can be challenged as we think of the hope that you give us. We live in a world right now that hope is very rare in many ways. Yet we pray and we thank you for the hope that you give us as we look toward the future with excitement as we approach Christmas in this season. Thank you again, Lord, for that greatest gift, the indescribable gift, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Appreciate the band and Jason putting on a couple different hats today, helping out with the Advent wreath and also leading the group. So give these guys a hand, and Lady Melanie over here singing for us. You know, it's like this is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. You never know if you're going to have a big crowd show up at church. Everybody going to take a break. You know, too much turkey, pumpkin pie, what else? Dressing, stuffing. Yes. Oh boy. So all of that, but today we got a pretty, this is probably one of the most important topics, because a long time ago I was sitting in our small group and we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And we were saying, is that the prayer that you ought to pray every time you pray? And I said, well, let's talk about that. And we did, we talked about it a little bit, and we looked at what Jesus said about that prayer. And as we go through today, we think about these questions that people are asking, does prayer work? Why should I pray? Is it going to make a difference? All of those things. I'm reminded of the guy that came down to the front. You know, we do this at the end. We have people here. And the guy walked down to the front of the church, and he said, "Pastor, would you pray for my hearing?" And the pastor put his hands on the man's ears, and he prayed this real sincere, deep prayer, praying for healing of the man's ears. And after he finished, he said, "How's your hearing?" said, I don't know, it's next Thursday. That's a delayed joke, wasn't it? I went from prayer to a joke. I'm sorry, man. That was like, oh, that wasn't good. I will say this. It was a tough day for some of our football fans yesterday. Sue, I'm sorry about Auburn. That was a close one. You were pulling for Alabama. Oh. I noticed Alan isn't here. I was going to, you know, can't pick on him. He helped me out yesterday. I was getting ready to do a wedding, and he was giving me he was my sports commentator by text to let me know what was happening in the Michigan-Ohio State game. Most of you know I'm a Michigan fan. And Ohio State played well. They're number one. You know, they ought to. I do know there was a tragic thing happened after they left to go back to Ohio State. They found out the library was shut down at Ohio State. Both books had been stolen. And they did get them back. They got them back, but somebody unfortunately had colored outside the lines. So still having problems at the library at Ohio State. Let's see, what else is here? Jason, that one, should I go on into the sermon now? oh, my goodness. I didn't bring my little Jesus up here. Have you seen these little Jesus? Dan, I don't know. I used to carry one in my pocket, and I was at the basketball. We were playing Mercer University the other day. The women's team was playing them Friday. And I saw this cameraman that came with the other team, and he had on his shirt, Jesus One, W-O-N. I mean, black shirt, white letters, as big as you can see. Jesus One. I said, man, I went over to him. We're doing the broadcast. I said, I got a break. I'm going to go talk. I said, man, I love that shirt. And I said, matter of fact, here is a little Jesus. I had one in my pocket. I had a couple in there. I gave him one. He goes, man, I've been wanting one of those. And so I gave it to him. And it reminded me, you know, this, I was down at the courthouse. I should save this one till later in here. But we were at the courthouse. I was going in there to turn in some marriage licenses. I've told my small group this, like, and so I'm pulling out, oh gosh, there's two little Jesuses there in the little cart. I hold it up, and I looked at all three of those sheriffs, and I said, have you ever seen one of these? Tori, yes, that was good. Questions about prayer. We're going to kind of dive into this in Luke chapter 11. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples, there were 10 lepers that were healed. How many went back and thanked Jesus? Only one. You talk about that. Where did the other 9 go? You know, maybe they had, I don't know, maybe they had business to do. But I think I would have gone back to Jesus and said, thank you, Lord, and here in Thanksgiving season. So another great message about healing and Thanksgiving. Number 3, one of the most famous, walking on the water. You know, Peter he got out of the boat and walked on water briefly, very briefly. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was good. Then he looked around at the waves and the wind and gloop, 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 gloop. But the good news was he reached out to Jesus to save him. That's a great lesson for us. When we start sinking, who do we reach to? All right. Number 2, another healing. This, remember, they came through the roof. All right. I know that youth pastors have done this during construction of the buildings. Are we doing the roof in here? Ceiling? We doing the ceiling? This would be a great sermon that week, you know. Just say if somebody come down through the ceiling and talk about an object lesson. So the healing of the parent, they drop him down there in front of Jesus. The interesting thing there was he first said, I forgive his sins. And the Pharisees, and they went nuts. Jesus here, forgiving sins, that only God can do that. And then he heals the man, and he gets up and walks. And number 1, see this one. Raising the dead. You know, he had Lazarus, Jairus, had several situations. Now, the difference between the raising of the dead and the resurrection, those folks died later again, okay? Jesus is alive still. That's the difference, all right? So now, if you were the disciples, you saw all these things happen, and you don't ask to say, hey, can I raise dead people? Can I feed 5,000 endless food? No, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's what we're going to talk about. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, this then is how you should pray. As a matter of fact, if you want to really get the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. This is really kind of a model prayer for us, the disciples. We are his disciples as well. His prayers in John 17 when he prays. And believe it or not, for those of you who are scholars, let's see if I can pick one out like Steve Rogers. The scholars will go in there and say that same pattern that is used in the model prayer is used in John chapter 17 when Jesus is praying for us. That's pretty heavy stuff. John chapter 17. Our small group, we said that's the longest recorded prayer in the New Testament. John chapter 17. Check that out. A little extra work there. I was discussing, how many of you say, you know, there's amen and there's amen. Have you ever thought about at the end of the prayer, in Jesus' name, amen or amen? How many say amen? Anybody say amen? A couple of you. Down in Jamaica, what do they say there? Amen. Amen. That's it. And then the poor college student, you know what they say. Any poor college students? Ramen. That was bad. That was horrible. Whew. Here we go. We better get into this. Number one, fill this one in. Praise. I begin by expressing love to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy, set apart. We've been singing the song, Holy Forever. The words in there are just magnificent. Your name is the highest. Your name is greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy, forever. Name. You ever think about the name of God? People, unfortunately today, you hear people say God's name in vain a lot. You hear the name of Jesus used incorrectly a lot. But the name of God is so holy. So first of all, he says, our Father. That's very personal. But then he says, who art in heaven. So we have the personal God, but we also have the great, mighty Creator all in one. The name. You ever thought about this? Think about people's names. How important is your name to you? If somebody remembers your name, does that mean a lot to you? Yes, it does. But here's another thing. Your name is not just a title. It's the total of who you are. It's not just a title. It's the total of everything about you. Your name, God's name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's a couple of things here. A, and we'll say, is adoration, praising God for who he is. Adoration, praising God for who he is. That's what we do. Let's praise him with a dance. You heard that in the very first song. Praise God for who he is. Adoration and thanksgiving. We just had that. Praise God for what he has done. We had that really deep question. What's the difference between thankfulness and gratitude? We had a great discussion about that. And I love what our youth even looked into that question, said, hey, thankfulness is kind of for a specific event or a specific thing that happens. But gratitude is how you live your life. Not expecting things to be given to you, but being thankful for everything that comes your way from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Psalm 100 says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When you came in this morning, this is a good question for all of us, me too. Did we come in with thanksgiving in our hearts? I was thankful, and I don't think I ever got any of it, Stevie. Some of that bacon. I was thankful there might be some bacon over there, but I forgot to get some. But you know, there's thankfulness for seeing your fellow Christians. There's thankfulness for coming before God to praise him with music and worship and prayer. The ability to come in and put concerns on the cross. We do that in our commitment time. Something on your heart that you want to put up there that's a prayer concern or maybe a joy and thank you, Lord. maybe there's somebody you haven't seen in a while, and you go to them and you say, good to see the fellowship that we have. All of those things, to come into God's house with thanksgiving. The key here is God answers the prayers that acknowledge who He is. God answers the prayers that acknowledge who He is. By the way, God answers in a lot of ways, but I think the three that we probably have zoomed in on are no, because I love you. Yes, because I love you. Or wait, because I love you. It all has to do with love. It all has to do with love. Let's look at number two, purpose. I commit myself to doing God's will. I commit myself to doing God's will. The verse here says, as in the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine that, coming into the purpose that God has. It's the same in heaven and on earth. We're bringing heaven to earth, God's purpose. What is God's purpose for your life? What's God's purpose for my life? I have really enjoyed doing weddings. You guys, most of you know this. Every once in a while, I do some funerals as well. And we think about the person when I meet with folks. It's somebody I don't know. I had a funeral recently. I did not know this gentleman. I wish I had. Every time I meet with a family, I'm doing a funeral for somebody I don't know. By the end of that time together, I say, man, I wish I had known that person. And this was Dr. Floyd Putney. He was in his 80s, delivered 7,000 babies. That's a few, 7,000 babies. My favorite story, though, and I told this again, sorry, small group, you get to hear these things. There was a really tough pregnancy. I mean, this baby, they weren't sure if the baby was going to make it, and they weren't sure if the mom was going to do well either. And they were in the room, the birthing room and delivery room. And at the same time, his son John, who lives here on James Island, had a ringtone. You remember, I don't think we do this much anymore, but you'd have a certain song for different people. And the song that would come in for his son was the Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So here, you can tell what's about to happen, all right? So this baby, they've been concerned, been praying about this baby that came along. The baby is born. The doctor literally has the baby in his hands. His son calls, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the baby's right there in the hands. They said, what a great picture that was. And his son had no idea what he had done. But you think about the words of that song. It says, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You are a living sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament, they had to come in, they had to kill an animal, a bird, a goat, a lamb. They had to kill an animal to sacrifice to God. And Jesus took all that away. He was the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And now we don't have to bring animals in here every week, thank heavens, to make an offering and a sacrifice. But you know what? We do make a sacrifice. We do make an offering of our lives. It was like the young boy in the youth meeting. He said, hey, they were taking the offering, and they said, can you put the offering plate on the floor? Now, we don't do offering plates. We have those little compartments back. They had the offering plates. He said, put it in the middle of the aisle. They said, okay. And he went out, and he stood in it. And he said, I don't have any money, but I want to give myself as an offering. You can't really improve on that much. That's pretty deep. How many of us have truly said to God, my whole life is an offering to you? The key here is living a purpose-driven life includes worship, ministry, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship. I'm going to say those again for those of you writing. Worship, ministry, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship. Most of you may know that. It's out of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. As you think about those five purposes in life and the five purposes of our church as well, there's a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. There's a book called The Purpose-Driven Youth Ministry. I think about the purpose that God has called us for. And it's very easy. Once you figure out what God's called you to do and the purpose that he has in your life, you don't really veer off of that. Now, I'm going to tell you something that a pastor should never tell a church. Jason, get ready. We were at the fair. It was the middle school boys. Brianna was there. She's a parent of Liam over here. We're out there, and I get a phone call. I don't usually take phone calls at the fair. I don't know why. I just look down there. Matter of fact, I don't think I did take that call. I listened to a voicemail that came in. It was a church calling me about being their pastor. So a pastor should never say this to a church, right? And I knew immediately the answer was a no. Not to be mean about it, but to say, you know what, I'm committed right here. God's called me here. My purpose is right here at Grace Point. By the way, my purpose that day was to survive one of those rides. What was that thing called, the Scrambler? Well, I don't remember the name. But, you know, I'm a little bit bigger than I was when I was a teenager. And some of y'all may have ridden this ride. But you get on there, and Caleb was with me. Caleb's not here today, but he was with me. And they put this bar on you, and you're like, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I can breathe now. It was tight. And now Caleb's here. He's sliding around. So every time, this was one of those rides where you think you're going to shoot out into the midway, whoop, and it stops and goes the other way. Your body doesn't stop. Boom, you're hitting the wall. You're hitting here, over here. And so I'm about ready to survive this ride. You know, I'm thinking, I think I'll make it through. And apparently, and I'm thinking, thank goodness, it's almost over. Apparently, the guy running the ride looked over and there was nobody in line. He said, I'll let him go twice. So here we go. Now I'm like, I'm hanging onto that bar trying to, anyway, that was not my purpose, was to survive that. When you know what your purpose is, you can stay focused and you can be effective with what you're doing. I feel like God's also called me to do weddings and to be a minister to folks that are getting married in some sort of way, to let them know that God needs to be the center of that marriage. Let's look at the next photo here. This was a young lady who was reading the book, Purpose Driven Life. You may remember this story. This guy went nuts in the courthouse in Atlanta, shot somebody, got loose, went out, and he kidnapped this lady, Ashley Smith, broke into her house and was holding her hostage, and probably thought he was probably going to kill her. She was reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and she would read it to him. She had a 40, you know, Purpose-Driven Life is 40 days devotion. If you haven't read it, go back, or if you've done it, do it again. 40 days, and she would read it to this fella. I'm trying to remember the guy's last name was Nichols. She read it to him, and eventually he was so moved by God and the purpose of Ashley's life that he let her go and turned himself in. What a story, you know, that God can use you and your devotion to change lives day by day. The key is, again, those five purposes, to put those in the center of our life. The third one is provision. Now, unfortunately, most of us, when we pray, we come right straight to this one. Provision. I ask God to provide my daily needs. You could probably add in there my daily wants as well. But sometimes we go right to this when we forget about just praising God and thinking about the purpose that everything. As a matter of fact, one of the saints, great saints they were quoting, says, when I pray, God gives me everything I want. And here's the second part. I love this. Because what he gives me, is what I want. What he gives me, I understand that that's exactly what I want, is what he wants. Wow. That's a pretty big thing, because prayer is not to change God, it's to change us, to put us on that purpose, on that line, to say that everything I pray for, God says this, or Jesus said that as we pray, and we can pray about all our needs, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's 3 months. Lord, give us, please. You remember in the wilderness when they put manna out, you know, manna would come in, it'd be one day, except on Friday, which was the day before the Sabbath, it'd be 2 days. And there were always those people, you know, the ones, the greedy ones, they went out there and they grabbed about 4 days of bread and it spoiled immediately. I mean, it's like God said, you've got one day. Think about this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not a spotlight that shows all the way down the road. Sometimes we just need to know the next step. What's the next thing that God wants you to do? What's the next need that you need to pray about? It's like the two boys. What are the needs that we can pray about? We can pray about all of our needs, all of them. Two boys at grandma's house, probably around Christmas time, and one boy quietly prayed for a puppy. The other boy prayed very loudly for a bike. God, I want a bike. The first brother said to him, why did you pray so loud? You're talking to God. He said, yeah, but I wanted grandma to hear me. Yeah, some of you know. Provision. A little photo here. A verse before we get to that. God will supply all your needs from his riches in glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Philippians chapter 4. Great photo. This guy's name was Manuel Scott. It wasn't this guy. There was a guy at seminary, and he was a preacher out of L.A., I think, and he had suspenders. Now, that's not him, but the only other time I see suspenders is at the Stingrays game when they're playing a song and the guy's dancing with the suspender. But this guy was preaching at seminary with suspenders on, and he would snap them every once in a while, just kind of pow. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I don't know. He gets so excited. But he told a story. Said his little grandson came to him and talked about provision. Said, Granddad, I need some new shoes. Said, oh, okay, what kind of shoes? Now, granted, this is many, many years ago. I'm gonna update the pricing a little bit, okay? His dad's or granddad said, well, how much are these shoes? And he said, well, about today's price be about $250. What? He said, I could buy 10 pairs of shoes, maybe 20 for that. And then he told us at seminary, he said, but you know what? I went out with my grandson, and I got him the shoes. And he says, you want to know why I did that? He says, because my grandson spends time with me when he doesn't want anything. He spends time with me and tells me he loves me when he doesn't want anything. And here he comes with one need or want, and he said, I want to take care of him. I think that's the way it is with God many times. We come to God when we want something, we feel like we need something, just to spend time with him. Philippians 4 again says, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. The key here is to be specific. And also keep a little list. Do you ever keep a prayer list? Like when God answers your prayers, we have a prayer list, but write down when he answers the prayers. Many times God answers prayer and we don't even think about that. Number 4, pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. Forgive us our debts. Pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. Forgive us our debts. 4 steps to forgiveness. We'll go through this a little pretty quick here. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal every sin. How many sins, by the way, does it take to keep us out of heaven? Just one. God's not going to allow sin into heaven, because then it would become just another, have to kick us out of the garden. Sin has to be forgiven. So you want to reveal every sin. Secondly, confess each sin specifically. C, the third one, make restitution to others when necessary. Like Zacchaeus, remember he went back and paid 6 times the people he had ripped off. And letter D, by faith, accept God's forgiveness, God's mercy and grace. And you can just watch, wash away the guilt, the darkness, the harsh bitterness. Accept that and allow that weight to be lifted with God's forgiveness, the pardon. John chapter, 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, that's a thankful thing right there. The key is faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. Do we forsake all else to trust in him? Number 5, I pray for other people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ought to have a list of people we pray for. Look at what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says. Pray much for others. Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks for all he is going to do for them. Praying for others can lead to great strength and unity. We talk about this a lot in your small group. One of the things we do is share prayer requests. Many people actually write those down. They keep a list of things they're praying for. To pray for one another. Everybody in here has something that needs prayer today. Everybody. We only get 3 or 4 in the box each week. But everybody in here ought to be writing a prayer request and putting in the box. Because we pray for those. You ought to be praying for other people as well. Maybe have an accountability partner to pray for them. I would say this. All of us need to develop a list of people that you pray for regularly. Family and friends, co-workers on your team at work, small group members, those are pretty close. Maybe not so obvious. Pray for your teachers, your coaches, your health professionals, doctors, nurses, dentists, pharmacists. Pray for the cashiers. You want a conversation with a cashier? All you have to do is say, y'all busy today? That's all you have to say. You can have a conversation right there. Say, hey, pray for that person. What about the hidden people? People at the gym, the library, the park, the grocery, people walking dogs down the street. People you're standing in line with. Somehow, some way, I typically tend to talk to them. You know this. And have made a lot of friends that way. But you know what? And eventually I can say, you know, I'm a youth pastor over here next to Goodwill. Well, come see us. You know what I say, Stevie? This is true. This is the honest truth, what I tell them. I say, man, our band is awesome. I mean, my friends over here from Kentucky know I told them this last week. Is it Jay? Is that right? Jay's here from Kentucky. I said, listen, the band is phenomenal. They could play for 5,000 people. We'll have about 110. Stevie traveled with the Allman Brothers. He's in the Hall of Fame. But I say, and I tell them, but our keyboard player is horrible. Everybody's laughing. That's good. And then they go, they're going like, wow. You know, their face drops like, he's talking bad about somebody in his church. And then I said this, and then this is what I say, really. I said, you know, people go to a NASCAR race. And then, I forgot. I tell them it's me. I say, by the way, I'm the keyboard guy. And then I say, you know, people go to the NASCAR race. Not to see people get hurt, but they like to see a couple wrecks, a couple crashes. So come to church and hear the keyboard. That's Jason's laughing too much on that one now. So we need to have a list of people we pray for every day. Looking around here, I mean, you wouldn't believe the people in here. I just mentioned Steve. We have a guy in this room. I embarrass everybody, don't I? This is... I got a guy in this room. I'm reading his book right now. Anybody know that there's an author in the room with us? No, he probably didn't. All right. I won't point him out, but he's way in the back. So we have people in here. We have people that attend here who were the Skeezah women's basketball coach of the state, all the state coach last year, comes to our church. We have a gentleman who comes here, was a coach at James Island High School. The court at the high school is named after him. We have people all around you. I'm not going to embarrass this individual who moved here from Tennessee, but I was talking to somebody yesterday. I'm doing their wedding, and I said, they're an EMT, EMS worker on an ambulance. I said, well, do you know this particular person? They looked at, they Googled the picture there, Robert, and they said, yes, I've seen him before. There are people all around you with great talents. We have gymnasts and swimmers and football players, some that have just signed to play in college here today. So all of that to say, we need to have people. Get to know people. We are in the people business. Get to know folks. Pray for them. Have a prayer list. And then last one, number six, protection. I ask for spiritual protection. Lead us not, as the verse says here, the ends out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sometimes you just hear the word evil, but it really is a personal thing out there, that the evil one. You think about evil in our world. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're a dentist and you want patients, you go to the school and hand out candy, right? If you're a tire dealer, you throw nails on the road. You'll have tire people coming in for tires. If you're a pastor and want people to pray, just tell you this, watch the news. You'll be praying, and why? Because there's evil in this world. We see it. What's happened this past week? What's happened this past year? Evil. There's no explanation for a lot of things. There's no explanation from why somebody pulls a trigger and just takes someone's life right there. It's evil. It's evil. How do we deal with that? We pray for God's protection. You and I pray for God's protection, not only for our loved ones, for ourselves, for others around us, for our church. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 4. The spirit that is in you is more powerful than the spirit who is in those who belong to the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus is much more powerful than Satan, and yet we give Satan a lot of credit sometimes. There are principalities and powers that are warring all around us. We don't see it. We see the results of it. But as we pray, Lord, protect us from the evil one. Protect us. I close with this story. Well, the key there is to fear not. Fear not. And then somebody in our youth group last week was saying, yeah, it's in the Bible 365 times, once for each day. But here it is, doing a disciple now in Atlanta, Georgia, Loganville, Georgia. And I can't remember the family's name. I think it was Northrop, but I can't remember exactly. This is so long ago. This is way back. We had, and disciple now, you can have a mixed group. You have like juniors and seniors. There's four guys, four girls. They obviously stay in different parts of the house and all that kind of thing. But we had four guys coming in, and they told me, they said, now, these guys are not church kids. They are not, we don't even know if they're Christians, but they're coming to disciple now. So the four guys, we went to a concert that night. It was so loud, the youth pastor had to go out in the parking lot. I don't know how I was able to stay in there. It was loud. And so in the middle of all this, at the very end, the guy said, if there's anyone here tonight who would like to pray and ask Jesus to save you, to come into your heart, just stand up right where you are. And I'm thinking to myself, that's probably not the best way to give an invitation to young people. Nobody's going to stand up right there by themselves. And guess what? One guy in our group stood up. Now, take it back just a little bit, because the night before, I woke up in the middle of the night in this house before the kids had even arrived. And I felt this weird presence, like we talk about the evil one. It was like Satan himself was there at the house. And I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command Satan, just get out of here. Satan, get out. And the next morning, when we're having breakfast, the lady who is the host, she said, I didn't tell her anything about what I had experienced. She said, Satan, in her prayer for breakfast, which we don't usually pray this at breakfast, Satan, just get out of this house. Wow. And it was that night when the one guy stood up and said, hey, agnostic, atheist, not Christian, whatever, he stood up and said, I want to receive Christ. We got back to the house. There were three other guys then that kind of probably were laughing at him, making fun of him. But you know what happened? Before the night was over, all three of those other guys prayed to receive Christ and become Christians. Now today, as we think about this prayer, ultimately that's what it ought to lead to, is God changing our heart and changing our life. We don't pray to change God. We pray to change ourselves, our heart. God wants to do it. You don't have this one on your list, but I'm going to give you number 7. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to say it. All the other words began with P. This one does too. You ready? Pray. Just do it. Just do it. You may not have it in your schedule to pray regularly. Just do it. Make it happen. Make it a priority to pray. Follow this little outline, this little pattern that Jesus gave us. You don't have to say these words, but that pattern. And a couple of you are going to go back and read John chapter 17 and see how Jesus did exactly that as he prayed for us. All right? So today, you may be here and you've never received Christ. You've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins, to trust in him, to know that you're saved. If you're here today and you'd like to pray that prayer, I want to pray a prayer right now with you. And then I'll be down here at the front. Janine will be down here at the front. We'll be here. You can come by and tell us. You can write it on your card. But if you have never prayed this prayer, or if you'd like to pray it again as a recommitment, pray this prayer right now. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. Today, Lord, I put my faith and my trust in you. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and my life. I want to live for you. And Lord, today, if there's anybody that's prayed that prayer, I pray that they will tell somebody. Write it on a card. Tell their parents. Tell somebody that today I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus, to be a Christian, to know I have a place in heaven. That's what it's all about. Lord, today I thank you for this special time we've had together. We love you, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple words of announcement here before our last song. And I want to give you an update on our pledges and growing grace. I know everybody's interested in that. But first of all, small groups, I talked a lot about that. I know that, and let me say this, one of the groups I would love to see us start a group maybe in 2026 is for like young couples. And I have an opportunity to see all kinds of young couples doing weddings, and would love to start a little group with that group. So we just got to find the right time, right place. We'll work on that and try to get that going. But if you haven't found a small group, and if you don't have one that you can work it out, you can start one. Let us know. We'll help you start one. Also, James Island Outreach, we help the folks in our area who do not have the resources they need as far as food and so forth. We help with that a lot. December 30th there on that Tuesday, if you'd like to be a part of that as well. Angel gifts, angel tree, the gifts that are on the trees outside there, those are families that need a little help at Christmas time. You can pick up those specific gifts. Don't wrap them up. Saw some toys coming in over there today. There will be a wrapping party that's coming in on the Sunday afternoon, the 14th, the day that you bring those gifts, the deadline there as well. Today is also a big day because this is the day that Pastor Kevin's been pushing and looking toward. It says November 23rd on your card, but really we kind of pushed that to November 30th for the pledge cards. If you've not turned in a pledge card and you've been praying about that for the next 2 years, how much you could give to our growing grace, you see the pro, You know, the progress is taking place. I have yet to get on that playground, though. They still got the caution thing still up, isn't it? So, yeah, they must have heard I was coming. So, all kinds of great things are going to be happening here, inside, outside, over in the fellowship hall. You can go online. We'll get you all the information to see that. But if you take a minute or two, if you'd like to, over the next 2 years, what do you think you can give? Now, I will say this. I probably shouldn't have said that about a church calling me to be their pastor, but I will tell you this part. I probably shouldn't tell you this either. I had a number in mind with our committee and our pastors, and I was reading through I was doing the message with the youth over in the fellowship hall, and it said, what are you doing sacrificially? That word was a tough one. It says, I'm really sacrificing? I had to double what I wrote down. I had to double what I had put down because I said, that's not a sacrifice. All right? I'm not so sure it is now. I may have to add to it. But that's just a challenge for you. Pledge cards, if you would, put those in the boxes there. Right now, the pledges that have come in are right at $194,000. This is not even the deadline yet, all right? Today's kind of the deadline, but it's $194,000, our goal of $385,000. What has been given so far, the previous to November 2nd, the Growing Grace and the fish fry that's been added in, you see these out in the hallway there, is a little over $112,000. So that's already been given. And thank God for that. Thank you for being a part of that. And the challenge is there for us. So we'll keep it up. All right? So, Lord, this is, you know, the Lord is so good to us. And every week we get to come together and enjoy the music, the message, the fellowship. We thank you for that. Let's pray. Lord, today as we go, we thank you for your blessings. Help us to just talk to you. That's what prayer is. To find those keys to be a powerful prayer warrior. To pray for others. To pray for your kingdom to come here on this world. We love you, Lord. We thank you for each person in this room and those who couldn't be here today. Watch over them. We lift it up now and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.